This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The year was 1941, the date December 7th, a day that will go down in infamy. The bombs dropped on Pearl Harbor, and Nancy Atzinger was just 5 months old. That's my mom. And to celebrate her 80th birthday, she brought us all to Hawaii. Aloha, everyone. This is incredible. But there's a whole lot to my mom's testimony that a lot of people don't know. Mom, we are in your home place, your birthplace, and I've never done an episode of Truth Talk from a pool. But I am in your happy place because this is where you like to quote and float. Is that right?
Yes, I do. I love to do that. So I get in the pool. I have a little flotation belt, which frees my hands up. And I kick away and I bring my Bible out here and I memorize scripture.
And we're in the quiet pool in Hawaii in this resort because we have how many grandkids that are chasing after trying to find us and one great-grandchild?
Well, we have 17 grandkids and one great-grandchild. And with all the adults, we have quite a few here. Yeah. Now, two of the young couples just left, but two of my grandchildren were here the first week we were here with their spouses. So in all, there were 31 of us. Now there are only 27.
So all my people out there, I've told you that Mom has taken us to the beach for 80th birthday. But Mama, they don't have any idea. I'm coming clean now. Full confession. Uncensored. The beach is Hawaii. Because this is where you were born. Your dream was to bring everyone back here to celebrate your birthday, right?
Right. Because none of us would be here at all had I not survived the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Wow. Our home was very near. And, of course, I don't remember it, but I do remember hearing my parents describe the morning we were awakened by the sound of bombs falling all around us, by the sound of people shrieking in terror as they realized we were being bombed. It was a total shock. It was a surprise. Nobody expected it. It was horrible. And they evacuated the women and children. And so my mother was sent on a ship with three young children, 4, 2, and 5 months. And we ended up in Los Angeles.
So the story of your life, your testimony, what God's done, his story of your life is tied into a major attack, one of the most horrific attacks on American soil, the bombing at Pearl Harbor. And you could have been cratered. You could have been like, you know, so many casualties there, a lot of loss of life, a lot of military guys. There's all kinds of monuments there.
Yes.
Where there were guys buried in these steel graves, you know, incinerated and burned and drowned and so many casualties.
Yes, it was tragic. My father stayed. He was a businessman there. He stayed and helped. He helped with the feeding of the people, especially the Japanese people who were put in camps. He was in the food business, so he stayed and helped get everybody fed. And then he joined us later in L.A.,
okay, so what happened after that? You and Aunt Carol and Uncle Ed were all little tiny kids, and your mom, who was a beauty pageant winner at one time, Miss Honolulu, right?
Yes, okay. And she had come to Hawaii from Wisconsin. She hated cold weather, so after school, she came to Wisconsin, from Wisconsin to Hawaii, and loved it, and got a job and just stayed. Well, my dad came to Hawaii, and he loved it, and so he stayed and worked, and they were doing very well. They were very successful, but with the bombing, he lost everything because all of his work involved food, and so the government took over all the food because it was wartime, and they had to feed people.
So tell us about that trek back to California. Tell us about growing up there. Tell us about how you came to know the Lord, Mom. So many folks have not heard your testimony before. It's a real exciting thing, and your family and everything.
Okay, well, when we got to Los Angeles, both my parents had to go to work and work long hours because they lost everything because of the bombing. And so there were many years of real struggle. When I was 11, my parents divorced, and my mother remarried later. And with the new stepfather came a lot of wealth. We moved into a big house in Southern California in Glendale. It had a swimming pool. And as a teenager growing up in this beautiful state of California, I had everything a teenager could want except happiness. And I just remember vividly going to bed at night and wondering what life was all about. Well, when I was 14, my neighbor, a very shy girl named Gracie Stockton, invited me to go to church. And I remember thinking, I didn't want to go to church. I thought, how boring. But I didn't want to hurt her feelings. She was really sweet. So I told her I would go. And wow, when I went, I heard some things I'd never heard before. And I remember so vividly that pastor talking about heaven. And he told us that Christ died for our sins. And he paid the penalty so we wouldn't have to pay the penalty. And if we would receive him, ask him to forgive us and to come into our lives and to save us, that he would do that. And so we did that. And oh my goodness, my whole life changed. It was so exciting. I just became a new creature in Christ. And I had a joy and a peace I'd never had. And I was so excited to be a Christian. So excited. And I just wanted to tell everybody. And I also wanted to memorize scripture. So when I'd go to church, every time the doors were open, and I would write down the notes and I would write the passages he would mention. And then I'd come home and I'd write them out on 3x5 cards and just go over and over them until I learned them. So from, you know, very early age, I started memorizing scripture. And then I wanted to go to a Christian college, but my parents said no. And so I just committed that to the Lord.
Okay, tell us what happened with that. Just so everyone will know where we are, you can hear, if you just joined us, this is Stu Epperson, Truth Talk. I'm interviewing my mom. I've never done Truth Talk from a pool before, but she loves to quote and float, memorize scripture and quote. She's had her grandkids, her children, in and out of this quiet pool at the hotel. You hear the waterfall in the background in Hawaii, because she brought us all here to celebrate her 80th birthday. And so she's here in her element, and she's my mom, and it's awesome to hear her testimony, how it is intertangled with Pearl Harbor and the bombing. She was only 5 months old. And you talked about how you came to the Lord, Mom, and you were wanted to go to a Christian college where ultimately you met Dad. We want to hear that story. You were connected with some cool people there. People hear the name MacArthur, Dr. John MacArthur, who I went to his school, and he's a well-known pastor and preacher. But his dad, I believe you went to his church a little bit, didn't you? And
yeah,
there was Aunt Jeanette, his daughter.
Yeah.
And they had all a big influence on your life.
Yes. And, oh, Dr. Jack, John's father, was just the greatest preacher. Oh, my word. I just loved hearing him preach. And he was a godly man. So I really knew I wanted to go to a Christian college. And so my parents were against it, my mother and stepfather, but I knew the Lord would work it out if he wanted me to go. So about this time, my brother Edward, who was not a Christian, was just wreaking havoc. He was your typical rebellious teenager, running around with just some mischievous guys, getting into a little bit of trouble, nothing big, but he was just trying to fill that void. And I knew the only thing that could ever fill the void was the Lord. And so I would just plead with him to accept Christ, but he just wasn't interested. And one night I was in my room reading my Bible. He walked by, and I read him some Bible verses, and he listened. Then he just laughed and walked away, made fun. And I remember going to bed so burdened for my brother Edward. Well, about 2 a.m, I was awakened by somebody shaking me. I looked up. It was Edward. He was shaking all over, just shaking like a leaf. And he said to me, "Nancy, God is dealing with me. I want to become a Christian. Will you pray for me?" And so I had the joy of kneeling there beside my bed with my brother and hearing him pray that prayer. "Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I've fallen short of your standard. I believe Jesus died for me. He was buried. He rose again. He paid the penalty for my sin. Please, Lord, come into my heart and life. Make me your child." And you know, the Lord did. And I'm telling you, his life was transformed. Mm. And so when this former problem child, now turned nearly angel, went to my mother and stepfather and said, "I want to go to a Christian college and I want to go to South Carolina," they said, "Go, go and take your baby sister with you. They were thrilled. And that's how God solved my problem.
And then you met my dad, Mr. Everson, Stu Sr. But we're going to hear that story when we come back on Truth Talk. I'm Stu Everson Jr. with my mom in Hawaii, of all places, because this is where she was born. And she wanted to bring us all back here for her 80th birthday, all 32 of us. We'll be back right after this. Please share this podcast with everyone. Once it comes out as a podcast, please let folks know. And be sure to thank all of our awesome affiliates, from AFR to Wilkins to the wonderful radio networks, Truth Network, that all carry this program, Truth Talk. Back right after this, there'll be some pictures of all this incredible Hawaii experience with Mom and Dad and all the kids on my Facebook page and my Twitter and my Instagram. More coming up. Hang on. The ambiance of the waterfall in the background, the beautiful palm trees, there's no place like Hawaii. They say aloha here a lot, and that's what my mom heard as a little baby, but at 5 months old, Pearl Harbor happened, and you were evacuated, Mom, with your brother and your sister and your mom to Southern California, where you grew up. The first segment we covered, your testimony and how you came to Christ. And you really felt led to go to a Christian college. And the reason we're in a pool right now, which I've never done my program from a pool, but we've been able to set this up technically, is because my mom loves to quote scripture in the pool, right? You tell us your quote and float routine real quick before we get into how you met Pops.
Okay. Well, my float and quote is this. I take either 3x5 cards, or now I just bring my whole New Testament, because it's easier to just go over my scripture with my whole Bible, because over the years I've memorized a lot. I've memorized books of the Bible and chapters, and I have thousands of verses. So I just bring my Bible, and I have a flotation belt, and so it keeps me afloat. I kick my legs and I move one arm, and then with the other arm I hold my Bible and I work on my scripture. And I love doing that. So I try to swim a couple hours every day, and I've got that Bible with me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And every night at Family Devotions in our condo here in Hawaii, we do a time of sharing. And a couple nights ago, we did a sharing about how much Mimi's impacted our life. And the common thread was, thank you, Mimi, for teaching us the Word of God. Thank you for leading us to Christ. Thank you for letting God use you to teach us scripture and our kids and our grandkids. And so that's been such a wonderful legacy, Mom. You've got a memorizing scripture CD we're trying to make into a podcast also. We're working on some of that stuff. But talk about that trip. You grew up in Southern California. You came to Christ. There you were in Jack MacArthur's church. And you had all kinds of cool disciples like Aunt Jeanette and all kinds of friends who were in your life. And then you got in a carload of folks, and you went to a Christian college. God answered that prayer. Your brother came to Christ. Tell us about that.
All right. So my brother and I went together to South Carolina to Bob Jones University, and we found out something about Edward that nobody knew. We found out that he was brilliant. Well, nobody had a clue, because he never cracked a book. He was never interested in academics. But when he came to Christ and God got a hold of his heart, he took the kinks out of his head, and he really was amazing. So he did a 4-year program in 3 years, and then he went on to the University of Southern California, where he did his graduate work, and he became a college professor in Southern California, married a godly woman. They've been married now 58 years.
Auntie Mona?
Yes, maybe 59.
And their awesome son, cousin Ted, who's got a bunch of daughters and a sweet wife, too. It's just neat to see their whole legacy, too. But we're going to drift away from the waterfall because it's getting a little bit loud.
Yeah.
We're in the quiet pool in Hawaii. I'm with Mom celebrating her 80th birthday. Thanks for bringing us out here, Mom. So tell us what happened. So you and Uncle Ed there are at Bob Jones, and you met a big, tall drink of water, didn't you?
Yes, and that's where I met my wonderful husband. And we were married there my second year in graduate school. They had asked me to stay and be a graduate assistant, which meant I would teach in the university while I was doing my graduate work, and they would actually pay me, and I could get my graduate degree. It was wonderful. I loved it. And so after 1 year, Stu and I got married, and he actually had graduated with his graduate degree, but he came back and worked on the campus at the radio station for a year just so I could fulfill my contract. And then we did something really crazy. After we'd been married 1 year, we decided to borrow some money and take up our meager savings. All we had was our car and our clothes. We didn't even have a place to live. We had a little rented furnished place. And we took a trip around the world.
Wow. Wow.
And that was just the most amazing experience. Wow. Because, and one of the highlights was meeting Christians all around the world. Many of people we hadn't met before, many with whom we couldn't even verbally communicate. But when you meet another believer, you have that instant bond in Christ. And so we met wonderful people and saw all the wonders of the world. It was just fabulous. Went to Europe, started in Europe, the various countries there, went to the Middle East, all through the Middle East, Egypt, Jordan, Israel, and we went to Iran. That was fascinating. Anyway, after we did the Middle East, we went on to the Far East. And so we went to Formosa, went to Hong Kong, Japan, went to the Philippines, where we stayed a couple weeks with friends that we knew from college who lived there. And that was a really interesting experience.
So you came back, and there's something people don't know about you. You have been a teacher at the college level for how many years? It was Piedmont International University. It was Piedmont Baptist College, Piedmont Bible College, Piedmont International University. Now it's called Carolina University there in Winston-Salem. But how many years have you taught there, Mom?
Well, I just have recently retired. So I taught there since 1965.
Wow.
So let's see, what is that, 54 years?
54 years. I wasn't even born then.
No. Well, that's the thing. After we were married, when we came back from our trip and settled in, I thought, well, I had been so busy in graduate school and teaching, and then all of a sudden we get to Winston-Salem, and my husband is building a radio station there, and I had nothing to do. And I thought, oh my goodness, I just prayed about it. Lord, what can I do? And I got a call from then Piedmont Bible College, Dean Reinert, and he said, we really need a speech professor. Can you do it? And I said, oh my goodness, I'd love to. So I thought, well, I'll just teach till I have children. So I taught 1 year, two, three, four, five. Well, about this time, a minister was visiting in town. He was doing a week of meetings, and he stayed with us, and we asked him to pray for us that we would have children. Well, he did, and we did. And when the fourth baby was born, the oldest was four.
Oh, wow.
And then my husband had to try to find him to get him to stop praying. Anyway, so I taught. I actually still taught at Piedmont while I had the children for a few years. But then I took a little time off, and a wonderful professor, Martha Grace Green, taught in my place until my kids were older. And then I went back to teach and just recently retired. So it's been a blessing, a great blessing. Most of my students, my students are all over the world. The sun never sets without it shining on a Piedmont, then Bible College, then Baptist College, then International University, and now Carolina. So we have missionaries all over the world. And it's just been a great blessing to invest in the lives of these young people.
The investment of Scripture, arguably, is the greatest investment you can make, you can receive. And our family has been so blessed to have a matriarch like my mom, Nancy Epperson, who I am interviewing right now in Hawaii to celebrate her 80th birthday. She brought us all out here. It's been such a treat. Mom, when we come back, I want to talk to you briefly about the Scripture part, okay? And I want you to quote maybe a Scripture for us for all of our listeners to be encouraged by and talk about that right here on Truth Talk. I'm Stu Epperson Jr., more with Mom right after this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is so powerful. It is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, my mom has dedicated her life to studying, memorizing the Word of God. She loves to quote and float. We're doing that right now, Mom. And we've heard your testimony. We've heard about college, how you met Dad. There's so many gaps to fill in there. But I do want to challenge as we go away today, give you a chance to challenge our listeners about the importance of memorizing God's Word. And how has God's Word changed your life, Mom? I've always wanted to ask you that question.
Well, what you put into your mind and heart is what comes out of your mouth. It's like a computer. You put it in, it comes out. And so the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I learned a long time ago, my opinion is no better than anyone else's. But if I'm quoting, thus saith the Lord, I can do that with authority and with power, because the word of God, we're told, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So early on, I started memorizing scripture as soon as I became a Christian. And what I discovered is it not only affects the way you think, it affects your speech. And it affects your countenance. And we're told in Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And in Colossians 3:16, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's what our goal is as Christians, to allow his word to flow in us richly. So remember, the important thing about memorizing scripture, the important thing is that the entire process is an act of worship. So you're not just trying to learn a verse so that your ultimate goal is to memorize it. No, the ultimate goal throughout the entire process is to meditate on it. Mm. We're told in Psalm 1, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we are told that God's hand of blessing will be on you as you love his word and meditate on it. Doesn't mean you're going to be rich, you're going to drive a big car, you're going to have a big house. But God's hand of blessing will be on your life. And then in Joshua 1:8 it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so God promises his hand of blessing if you'll love his word and meditate on it. In Psalm 119, 96 and 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever before me. And then in Psalm 119, 99 and 100, it says, I have more understanding than all my enemies, because they are ever before me, because I meditate on thy word. And then we're also told there's joy that comes in meditating on scripture. Psalm 63, 5 and 6 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. When you wake up in the night, think on scripture. There's a joy that comes with that. And then in 1 Timothy 4:15 it says, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly, completely to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You see, when you're filling your heart and mind with God's word, you're spending time with the Lord. When you spend time with someone, you get to know them. When you spend time with the Lord, you get to know him, and to know him is to love him. And what happens is it kind of just spills out and touches others. And when Moses went up on the mountain, remember, he was in the presence of God. He came down, and the children of Israel couldn't even look on him. He had to put a veil over his face. And it says Moses knew not that his face shone, but he was radiant. He'd been in the presence of God. And I do believe that when we spend time with the Lord, it not only impacts us internally, but it expresses itself externally. But remember, the key is the entire process of memorizing scripture is an act of worship.
Wow.
It is not a means to an end. The end is to meditate. So when you're beginning to memorize it, while you're in the process of memorizing it, after you've memorized it, and then when you review it and meditate on it, the entire act is an act of worship.
Amen. Well, thank you for teaching us the word, Mom. You and Dad spent some time doing that, teaching us scriptures to memorize, having family devotions. That's so important for families, isn't it? So basic.
Yes.
Just read the Bible to your children, huh?
Yes, it is so important. In fact, we're told in Deuteronomy 6, permeate your home with the word of God when you're sitting down, when you're walking in the way, when you're reclining. Just fill your house, fill your lives and your children's lives with God's word.
And you're an unsung hero. People don't know, you know, behind the Truth Network, which is a scripture-based network where we have Bible teachers, we have Bible questions and talk shows that get the word of God out, shows like my show Truth Talk, which is carried by all kinds of Christian networks. You've had a huge influence on me to have this. You've had a huge influence on Uncle Ed, your brother, who we spoke about earlier. So make sure everyone listens to the first part of our interview early on. And your husband, Dad, as they started Salem Communications.
Yes.
Which has hundreds. It's the largest Christian radio broadcast platform in the world.
Yes.
And but you have, God's used you as a prayer warrior and as a scripture person, a scripture warrior too, also in the word, because the will of God is found in the word of God.
Amen. And so after Stu and I were married and Edward was a professor for a few years, he wanted to be more actively involved in getting the message out. And so he and my husband got together and they located a frequency. Edward applied for a station and he started with one station, and then two and three and four. And my husband also started with some stations. And then one day they put them together and they formed Salem Media. And it has been a wonderful blessing all over the country. In every major market in our country, the gospel is being proclaimed.
Amen. Wow. So, Mom, I want to recap everything. Has this been a great birthday for you or what? This may have been one of the best vacations, family vacations I've ever been on. How about for you, Mom?
Oh, yes, this has been just a dream. And I'll tell you why. Because my family is so amazing because they all love God. They all love the Word of God. All. I'm saying all. Praise God. That is just such a blessing. And so they're kind, they're loving, and we've just had the most glorious time being together. And then we get together in the evenings and have devotions and go over scripture and just have such a wonderful time. So God is good, and it's all his grace, it's all his goodness. We can't take no credit at all. We give him all the praise and all the glory.
So you're hearing the splashing, you hear a little waterfall. We keep having to move it away from this waterfall. We're in a quiet pool, and I'm probably the worst person to be in a quiet pool because I'm so loud, but I'm with my mom interviewing her because she likes to quote and float. She has her scripture cards right there. What are you memorizing right now? What passage?
Right now, I am brushing up on Romans 8, and I just about have it down perfectly. And then Ephesians 1, I've just finished memorizing that. I'm just polishing it up. Because remember, the whole process is an act of worship.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, Mom, you're memorizing that. So in terms of a recap, How many kids, grandkids, great-grandkids? Give everyone an update on that.
Well, I have 4 children, and they all have amazing spouses, praise God. I have 17 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild.
Awesome. Which is our daughter Hope's little, and Harrison's little son, Walker, who's precious. And we got pictures of all of them up on social media. And, Mom, quote us one scripture as we get out of here, celebrating 80 years of life. Her birth was in Hawaii, in Honolulu, and 5 months later, the bombs dropped to Pearl Harbor. We talked about that more in the first segment, so make sure you hear this whole broadcast podcast when it comes out later. And God just has done miracles in your life. We're so glad that you survived that war and that you have, God's used you to bring me and so many others to know Him, to know Jesus, and to learn His Word. Quote one scripture, Mom, as we get out of here to leave our listeners with as we say goodbye.
Okay. Well, I think maybe my favorite psalm is Psalm 103, but I love them all, of course. And I won't do the whole chapter because I don't think we have time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
This is the Truth Network.